B-Pod Studios.
Video games.
Yes, you can!
Comic books.
Nothing is impossible.
Sci-fi.
Just
anime.
Do it!
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
What are you waiting for?
This is Nerd Radio.
Make your dreams come true!
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio. Wherever you're getting your podcast, it's part of the B-Pod Studios Network. I just started the show and you're snickering.
Well, it happens every time because we roll the mics for a while before we actually start talking.
Right.
And inevitably something happens off mic. And then we just segue into the show.
And then it's exactly. Right.
Which I enjoy. But I am going to rat both of us out. The fact that we had to pull Sherry, the engineer extraordinaire, in here. Now, in our defense,
look, it's new. They put a new board in here.
New equipment.
Yes. So we have a new board. So if we sound a little bit different, that's probably why it's processing differently.
Right. But it was a very simple click of a button.
Yep. Just press this button and it'll work.
Yes. And when she explained what the problem was.
Yep.
Why we weren't getting any levels when we tried to record, it was one of those like, I feel dumb. Not that we would have necessarily even known. Like, there was no way for us necessarily know, like, oh, check this thing to see that, and then, okay, those are the buttons to push. So, but you feel dumb when you call in the engineer, who is way smarter than us. We'll both agree with that up front. But to pull her in to be like, it's just that button right there.
Well, she's way smarter than you. I don't know if I'm going to jump on that bandwagon.
Sherry's pretty damn smart.
She is very smart.
You can be a smart person and be outsmarted by Sherry.
That's true. Very true. So thank you for tuning in for another Nerd Radio this week. James on vacation, but
yes.
Mr. Al Beck, as you can hear, is back. You had your vacation last week, Al.
That's right, yeah.
How was it?
It was good. I did nothing.
Yeah. You had a staycation.
Yeah, it was one of those things, you know, like me and Jason kind of divvy up our vacation time.
Yeah,
you know,
who's got to be here to run the best of Dave and Chuck the Free.
Right. When the show is off, one of us is usually here to run, you know, the replacement show. And so when I come back from Christmas, right at the beginning of the year, he and I will sit down and kind of go over it.
Yeah.
So I've known since January, I'm going to be off for these days here. And you know what? I'm gonna be a grown adult and I'm going to plan a thing to do those days.
Over 6 months to
figure it out.
Vacation.
And then it was like, oh, that's next week. Crap. But whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't feel like it was nice. It was relaxing. I did do some stuff.
Right.
Just kind of stayed local. And I got a trip next month. A little mini, like a long weekend, just a short trip. I'm going to go visit my brother.
Okay, well,
in
as
Las
long
Vegas.
As it's on the weekend, because I need you here.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It'll be. I will be missing a Monday.
All right.
But no, I'll be here for Nerd Radio.
Excellent.
It's the first weekend in August.
Right.
Going to Vegas for. And I'll have a lot to talk about when we come back.
Yeah.
Star Trek Las Vegas.
Ooh.
Yes.
So that's going to be fantastic.
Yes, Mr. Shatner is supposed to be speaking the day that we're there.
Yeah.
So
I can't wait to hear all about that. Yeah. That's going to be good. So you said it's next month?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like that Thursday. I think it's the 31st through the 4th.
Yep.
Or 5th or something. It's like it's a long weekend, the event. And,
right.
And we're just going to go that Sunday.
Well, there is a bunch of stuff, a bunch of news to get to this week. There's Walking Dead news. There's obviously Spider-Man releases this week, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff. But I did want to ease into it because this may be the show of disappointments on both of our fronts.
Well, we can balance that afterwards. Maybe we can touch on Red Dead Redemption 2 because I finally finished that.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. When
Excellent.
I talked to you last, I was close.
Yeah.
But last night I finished it.
Okay.
So we can talk about that later.
That's awesome. Fantastic.
It'll be brief because we've already covered it.
Oh, for sure.
and that game came out back in October.
Right.
So it'll be a brief conversation, but we can't talk RDR 2.
As I said, Spider-Man Far From Home opening this week. Opening yesterday.
Yes, it's already
Tuesday.
Out. It's out.
Yeah. It has. I pulled up Rotten Tomatoes. It already has a 98% audience score.
Okay,
so that's real good. Everybody I've talked to that's seen it in the last 24 hours has had nothing but good things to say about it.
It is a high priority on my list.
Yeah, it's supposed to be kind of the end of this cycle of Marvel cinematic movies. So it'll be.
Do you think the next phase is going to be as big, or do you think people are burned out?
I think there's definitely going to be a segment of the audience that by the time they hit Avengers Infinity War, people were going to see it. I was talking to somebody yesterday at the comic store that they were saying their coworker went to see like Avengers Infinity War and Endgame and has seen a Captain America movie and an Iron Man movie and not seen anything else.
Right.
No, like, you have none of the context for any of this. You know, at the very least, you need to have seen the Avengers movies.
Yeah.
To see, because there's stuff with, like, Thor's hammer and whatever that, like, it pays off in a later movie that you need to see that.
Well, you know me. I feel like if I hadn't already been into comics or whatever and been seeing these all along, if I started, like, Black Panther, I probably never would have watched them. It's like, really?
Yeah,
I
got to
watch all of that?
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Because you know me.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why I bailed on all the Marvel Netflix shows.
Right.
I got too far behind, and it just was too much of an undertaking. Now, I'm out.
It turned into this monumental task of like, ugh.
Right. Now, I'm a comic fan, so I've been on board with this since Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, which is where it began. But... Yeah, no, if I was a latecomer, there's no way I would have watched all of them.
Right.
There's so many movies.
I
want to watch them all again, and I'm having trouble doing that because there's so many movies.
Yeah, for sure. I read online what the Endgame, last time me and you got together with James, we talked about how they're re-releasing Endgame with a bunch of extra stuff.
Yeah.
The extra stuff doesn't really sound like something I need to go see.
No.
There's not really extra scenes. Like, there's a deleted scene that they talk about, but it's not... an important scene, which is why it was deleted, and there's some like a tribute to Stan Lee. It's all stuff that would be on the Blu-ray when it comes out in like a month. So like, no, I don't need to go back. It's a good time. It's a good movie, but I've already seen it twice. I don't need to go back.
Well, I only saw it the one time, so I might do it. I don't know. I mean, it's really just that, and they were pretty open about the fact that they were just trying to push the numbers and beat Avatar. Like, that's really the only reason why they're not just doing it on the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure it won't be in theaters for very long. When they re-release
I wouldn't imagine.
No, it won't be very long.
Not to mention releasing it once again so close to the next one, which is Spider-Man.
Right.
Like, do I want to go see a movie I've already seen that I liked again, or do I want to go see the new one that I might enjoy as well? Like, no, I think I want to go see the new one.
Well, they're crapping out gold right now, so they know you're going to go to both.
Yeah,
both.
I'm sure that's what they're banking on right there.
Yeah.
Speaking of going to the movies, though, let's start on a bummer.
So we're getting into the disappointment.
Right now.
All right.
I went, while you were on vacation, I went and saw X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Okay. Well, I mean, you've given us some reviews already, that you've heard.
Yeah.
And already they've all been negative.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping you'd get something positive because you are an X-Men guy.
I love X-Men. And you know what? I'm not mad about how much I didn't enjoy this movie. I am sad about how much I didn't
afford. No.
And
you were the big defender of the original X-Men movie to your friends, because you've told me that your friends bitched about it when it came out. And you were like, no, we live in a world where this is happening now.
Right.
Right.
And this is, and like, there's so much about this movie that you want to like. Like, the guy who wrote the first time they did Dark Phoenix, X-Men 3, The Last Stand, he wrote this one as well as directed it. This is his like second chance to get it right. And he's,
seems like poor planning on my part.
Does sound like kind of a bad idea on the surface, and it didn't.
A lot of people complained about that movie.
I know, and it didn't quite work out.
Right.
And it makes me once again, I told you a couple of weeks ago, like, I can feel the disappointment you had when Green Lantern got a movie and then it wasn't great.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And I still defend that movie just because it exists. Like,
right.
it's a thing out there, and I'm like, but I mean, I've got a Green Lantern movie.
At the end of the day, you gotta be like, dude, I got a live action Green Lantern movie. Ryan Reynolds was in it. Like,
the guy,
there's a lot to like.
I can remember his name, but the dude who played Sinestro was awesome.
Yeah.
That guy was good. That part of the movie I will defend. It's not even like it's the best I've got for my Green Lantern fix.
Right.
I will flat out say he was good.
Right. But this Dark Phoenix movie is absolutely worth skipping because it feels unfinished. It feels like there are things that happen or don't happen that you're like, what? The one that I point out the most is Evan Peters returns as Quicksilver, which is great. There's not a Quicksilver scene, which I'll get to the reason I believe that is later. You know, like in the First Class, or not First Class, Days of Future Past and Apocalypse, there was a Quicksilver scene with a music
which
montage.
Was, great
fun
scene. Yeah.
Yeah, great stuff. He's in the first two acts of the movie, and then I don't think it's a huge spoiler that there's a scene where the X-Men approach Jean at her childhood home, and she flares up the Phoenix powers and kills Mystique.
Okay.
And so Mystique dies. There's a funeral scene for Mystique, and then you never ever see Quicksilver ever again. There's no explanation for why he's gone. Just like, boop. He's not in the last third of the movie.
So do you think that there was actually an explanation that got cut out?
There had to be.
Yeah.
There had to be something. There had to be at least one line of like, Pietro doesn't want to be here anymore. He's very sad about, you know, Mystique being dead. So he left the school or something. Hmm. There had to be something.
Right.
But there's a lot of that. And there's a lot of, I was telling Amy about, there's these scenes that are supposed to be emotionally moving, these touchstones, especially surrounding Jennifer Lawrence's Mystique passing away, which
sure.
is a whole nother thing if you're a comic book fan, because I can't tell you how many times there's been a cliffhanger where Mystique has been killed, and then the next time she's like, well, I'm a shapeshifter. I just moved my lungs off to the side so that I didn't get impaled or whatever.
Well,
like that.
Dude, anytime any superhero dies, it's, you know. It's,
but like,
this is the same joke I've said before. I'm going to say it again because I'm desperate need of attention. Superhero deaths are like rock star retirements. They never last.
For sure. But like, Mystique didn't die because it served the story. Mystique died because Jennifer Lawrence doesn't want to wear blue paint anymore. So.
She'd rather go Red Sparrow and bear it all.
I suppose.
And so would I. No.
And I'm appreciative that you didn't choose to do that for this week's Nerd Radio, let me tell you. I mean, it's very warm outside.
I'll wait for James to come back.
It's very warm outside. I would not blame you. However,
I'll wait for James so I can be appreciated.
Thank you for wearing clothes. That's this week's episode title.
It definitely is, yeah.
But one of the reasons
I like James is going to see that title and go, what did I miss?
Yeah, right? How was I not there for this one?
Well, because he'd be stripping right now if we
it's true.
Put that idea out there.
Right.
You never know. This is what it's like working with James, and James and I work very closely together. You never know when you might turn a corner and he's in his underwear.
It's true.
You know, he's got the man thong thing.
I'm a little jealous that he gets, like, why don't we all get that caveat?
I don't know. I mean, it's always.
Why can't you go?
This is so funny to say, but he only ever strips down when it's necessary for work.
Why can't you walk in at like 4:45 in the morning and I could just be hanging out in my underwear and you'll be like, that's fine. Well, whatever. I don't need to tell the boss about that. It's
no,
all right. It's,
no, I will tell you there, the eye contact during this show would end.
He'd be looking at your iPad the whole time.
So exactly.
What else is on the run sheet here,
I
guys?
Don't know. I would actually I'd look for at the run sheet for the first time ever.
Yeah, right? Now I know how to get that to happen.
Oh boy.
But yeah, back to Dark Phoenix is kind of upsetting, and I feel like at the very least, if they don't, like the Green Lantern movie came out, didn't do well, and they've made a whole bunch of DC movies since and just like not mentioned a Green Lantern at all. Like they're trying to give it a rest so they can maybe bring it back, you know, 5-10 years from now or something like that. If that doesn't happen to the X-Men as a franchise, and I hope it doesn't because I love X-Men, that absolutely will happen to the concept of the Dark Phoenix in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You've tried it twice. It's bombed twice. I don't think it can be done in a movie. I think it's the kind of thing, because of the way it was done in the comics, it was set up over a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the kind of thing you need to set up over a couple of movies. You need to see a little bit of it in the first one and then see it, you know, amped up a little bit in the second one. You can't just like put it at the end of one movie and then make the next movie all about it.
Now, do you know how long Dark Phoenix was in the works? Like, did the Disney people get to have any influence on it, or was this like a Fox thing?
Okay, so unfortunately, the name of the guy who's worked on this escapes me. The one I talked about wrote the third one and then this one or whatever like that. But he has said in interviews that they had to significantly change the end of the movie because of Captain Marvel. Because I guess the end of Captain Marvel was very similar to the end of this. And once again, this is kind of a spoiler, but I'm spoiling a movie I don't believe anyone really wants to go and see in the first place. I'm kind of saving you your $7. The aliens in this movie, the Hellfire Club is not in this movie, which in the comics, that is the reason Jean goes Dark Phoenix, is because Mastermind.
Is it Simon Kinberg?
That is it.
Yeah.
Simon Kinberg. In this particular movie, some aliens come from outer space after Jean absorbs the Phoenix Force to find whoever the host is for the Phoenix Force to either destroy the host or to take the Phoenix Force from them so they can, because the Phoenix Force has annihilated their planet. So they've been going from place to place doing it. In the movie, they're called the Dabari, which anyone who's read the Dark Phoenix saga will remember. Those are like the broccoli people that when Jean absorbs a star and wipes out an entire solar system, okay. There's one panel of them on their planet seeing it happen. And, you know, like their entire planet, like their entire solar system gets annihilated.
Sure.
That's in the comics. That's the whole reason why the Dark Phoenix thing happens. In this movie, from what I have to understand, they were supposed to be the Skrulls because they shapeshift okay. into human forms and have some very strange powers. They're bulletproof and somewhat like that. Like the third act is about the X-Men and somewhat the Brotherhood stopping the Dabari from getting to Jean to absorb the Phoenix Force. And that particular scene is the reason there's not a Quicksilver scene is because there's a Nightcrawler scene where he teleports around after he sees some of his friends go down. He teleports and like kind of like in the second movie when he when Nightcrawler attacks the president, the if you remember when he attacks all the Secret Service in the White House.
Yeah,
it's very similar to that, but with this young, you know, Nightcrawler from X-Men Apocalypse that is now in this movie. And that's another thing that's really silly, too, is the X-Men team. In this movie is like Nightcrawler, Storm, Cyclops, Mystique, Beast, and I know I'm forgetting somebody. Quicksilver was on the team. But like you've got Storm and Nightcrawler who were only in the last movie. Storm has had all of like three lines. And there's this moment between her and Cyclops where like Cyclops is like, well, we have to go. We have to save Jean. And Storm's like, we may have to kill Jean. And he's like, no, we'll never do that or something like that. And it's supposed to be an important, emotionally impactful conversation, and how can it be emotionally impactful when Storm has had three lines
right
between two movies up to this point?
Yeah, banking on you drawing from Storm in the first trilogy or having read X-Men and knowing her importance there.
Right.
It doesn't really, you're not really drawing on her current status with the team.
Yeah. There's another scene where Beast and Magneto talk after Mystique has been killed. And once again, these are two characters that have had minimal interaction over four movies.
Right.
And now this is supposed to be important.
Wow. So really, I mean, is it even in theaters anymore? I mean,
well, that's the reason I went is because I heard they were starting to pull it already from the theaters.
Because it has not been out very long.
Yeah. That it was doing so poorly that they were already pulling it from theaters. Makes me sad, man.
Yeah. I'll still see it.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those things. Once it hits DVD or streaming or whatever like that, it's worth seeing once. I don't know that it's worth paying for.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's really...
I know I'll buy the Blu-ray. I like to... My comic book movies, I like to get the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
You know, it's a collection. I buy a lot of stuff digitally.
Yeah.
And, but I like to have a hard copy of these. And they usually come with a digital version, too.
At least when you have a hard copy, you have something physical staring you in the face that may go like, oh, I still haven't watched that.
Yeah.
Whereas when you buy it digital, it just, there it is. It's there. I've got a Steam library on my PC with like over 100 games on it. And I'm like, oh, I need to buy this new game that's coming out for the Switch. No, you don't. You have 100 freaking games on your computer you don't play. So unfortunately, my review of X-Men Dark Phoenix, I'll skip it.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Unfortunately, don't bother. Even if you're an X-Men fan, there is not enough there to make me enjoy. It makes me sad that they have had three separate movies to get Nightcrawler right, and they never do.
Did that Simon Kinberg do anything X-Men that succeeded? Do you know?
I don't know. I think he may have worked on some of the other movies as the writer, so like X-Men 2 or Days of Future Past or something like that.
I clicked on his IMDb.
Uh-huh.
But, okay, well, he did do so. Okay, well, and the first thing that came up was the 2015 Fantastic Four.
That's not great. That's not a good track record, brother.
He was a producer on that. However, there's the four things like the known for that came up. Dark Phoenix is a producer. He's also a writer director on that. Fantastic Four. He's listed as a producer. But here's two that he did that were very good: producer on Logan and a producer on The Martian.
Okay.
So those are a couple of, you know,
so
accolades.
He actually has a track record of doing movies that do okay. This one, just not one of them.
Right. Now, however, he was a producer on those other ones. I don't remember.
It makes you wonder, not being a movie person, what the hell does the producer do? And it's a thing, too. That's one of the reasons it makes me sad is, like, we may have said it on the show before, nobody goes into making anything like this, any entertainment medium, going to make a bad one.
Right.
Everyone has the best of intentions when they make this kind of things. It's even
every movie that you've ever seen. I mean, like, does anyone ever try to make a bad movie? I mean, there's plenty of bad movies.
Right.
Do you ever set out to do that?
I can't believe anybody sets out to be like, yeah, I'm going to make the biggest, you know, bomb ever in box office history or something like that. Even, what's his face? It's done the Transformers movies. Done like six of those stupid Transformers movies.
Oh, Michael Bay?
Yeah, even Michael Bay. He's a Transformers fan, man. He wants to make the movie he wants to see. It's just not necessarily the movie I want to see when it comes to that stuff. And like I said, it makes me more sad than angry that it just doesn't land, doesn't stick the landing.
That's too bad. You know, I was going to say that you were talking about how maybe they'll just sort of disappear for a while, the Dark Phoenix or whatever. I was about to say that both Sony and Fox have done nothing but fail at all this stuff, but Fox did this is the second time they tried to redo it. They tried to redo the Fantastic Four. That did so poorly that they canceled the follow-up.
Yeah.
They tried to do the Phoenix in Last Stand.
Yep.
People weren't crazy about that, so they tried to do it again, and it's doing so poorly it's being pulled early from theaters.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at Sony, who tried Spider-Man a couple of different times and eventually just said, just take it.
Yeah, right. Apparently, we're never going to get this right, so you guys do it. And, you know, I want to see the X-Men interact with the Avengers and the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all that stuff like that. I hope that this doesn't...
Have anything else, or was Spider-Man their only Marvel...
I think Spider-Man was the only thing Sony grabbed.
Because Fox had Fantastic Four and X-Men, but Disney bought them so they could...
And as a side thing, I talked a couple months ago about, or a couple of weeks ago, about how I've been reading the New Mutants comics and become a huge fan of that.
Technically, we could actually see Deadpool show up on Star Wars if they really...
It's true.
That would be pretty awesome.
It would be amazing.
It would be awful.
Can you imagine, like, if they don't make a third Deadpool movie, or while they're making a third Deadpool movie, like, Ryan Reynolds just shows up in, like, six or seven movies that year? Just Deadpool walks by and says something snarky, and then it's like, what is he doing here?
This is a really weird choice for the new Mulan movie.
All right, well, I got a bunch of comic book stuff to talk to you about.
All right.
The disappointment continues.
Oh, no.
But unfortunately, this time, I believe it's on your end.
Oh, okay.
So comic book talk when we return with Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hi, it's Brian Baumgartner. I played Kevin in The Office, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio. Order your social media at Nerd Radio 101, and of course on the podcast page at WRIF.com. My name is Chuck Bean. I'm your host, joined by Al Beck.
That's right.
And James, but James, unfortunately, on vacation this week, so he won't be here to drag us into Dirty Town, as he likes to say.
Dirty Town. He is the mayor of Dirty Town.
Yeah, that's fair.
Very fair. James Campbell.
Right. However, me and you, big comic book fans.
Yeah.
So seeing as James isn't here, let's talk about some comic book stuff. Because this week, a huge week in comic books that we had no idea was coming until Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm referring to is the final issue of The Walking Dead.
So is that confirmed?
Yes.
That is it?
Robert Kirkman and Image Comics confirmed Monday at around, like, 7 o'clock or something like that, that the Walking Dead ends with this week's number 193. They had solicited in Diamond Previews, the magazine that lets you know, like, 3 months in advance what is coming out, so retailers can
Diamond is the distributor.
Right. They had solicited issues 194 and 195 already, and they had done that specifically to keep the surprise that this was it.
So was it planned already that... Like, they knew that this was going to be the last one, and they planted those solicits?
Yes. They purposely solicited issues that were never going to come out. They got the artist to do cover art for those issues so they could put it in the magazine, saying this is coming out specifically so they could cancel it so that nobody would know until 48 hours before you can get your hands on this thing. that this is the end.
That's so weird. It's a weird way to do it.
I can only remember one other time, and I know it's happened more than that, but I can only remember one other time something like this has happened. Back when I first started collecting comics, and there was a company named Malibu, who originally was publishing the Image stuff, they decided to do their own superhero comics, and they had their version of, like, the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
And in order for the rest of the comics to launch off, these characters had to die, and they solicited, just like this one, they solicited two issues in advance and made it sound like this was going to continue on, and then at the end of issue four, everybody died. And then, this is just like, yeah, those two issues we solicited, yeah, those don't exist. Those aren't coming out. These characters are dead.
I don't understand the logic behind it. You would think...
Well, there's, as is to, first of all...
Because I don't want to get into the spoilers.
Yeah, I was going to...
The comic.
Like, I was going to ask, first of all, you're caught up.
Yes. Something happened in, I guess, the last issue is out now?
Yes. Okay. 193 is out now, but something happened in 191. Because I remember about a month ago asking if you were caught up, and you're like, no, not really.
Well, it was the second most recent issue. So if it's 193, it was in 192.
Right.
That a thing happened.
Right. Well, 191, there was a cliffhanger.
There was a cliffhanger.
And then they wrap it up in 192.
Yes. It was a big thing. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an interesting choice.
Right. It was the kind of thing that made you think, well, that's it, right?
Yeah. No, when the news broke, I was like, oh, okay. It didn't shock me as much as it confused me.
Yeah.
Because of the way that last issue was handled. And, you know, we talked about this before. There was a prominent character that was killed off, I don't know, a year ago.
Yeah.
One of the originals. And Robert Kirkman wrote a thing. I talked about it on the show. He wrote a thing. I don't want to say too much because, you know, maybe if you want to go back and read any of this stuff, I don't want to say anything. But a character that we lose a character. At the end of the book, Kirkman wrote up a thing addressing the fact that it was not going to be a popular choice. And it was almost like this apology.
Right.
And an explanation as to why he made this decision. And it was like a very personalized letter to the reader. And I liked that. I really did. I liked the way he handled it. So in the last issue, and I was glad that you made that recommendation because you came in here and said, are you caught up? I'm not. I'm 3 months behind on everything.
Right.
You said, I think you should go through your stack, pull those out, and get caught up on Walking Dead. And I took your advice. I'm glad I did, especially with this news coming out.
Right.
That the series is now over. But he did that same thing, that sort of explanation to the reader at the end of that last issue, and almost sort of like, listen, like this has been in the works for a while, yada, yada, yada. And he explained his reasoning and everything else. But he certainly, like, the fact that that was there made it sound like, yeah, we're going to continue to do this.
He made it sound like, look, I've got ideas. Like, the story continues even if this character is no longer a part of it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he really, almost in a wrestling way, really sold you on the fact that, it's going to keep happening. Only for a month later, it to be like, hey, by the way.
Yeah.
That was BS.
Yeah. And
the letters page in this particular issue, as you can see, because I have it in front of me here, this is kind of an extra sized issue. Still $3.99. That's kind of great.
Difference between Image and Marvel.
It's true. Extra large issue that I won't spoil any of it for you. But at the very end, he has a couple pages worth of a letter page where he says some of the best episodes of Game of Thrones are when they're structured in such a way and paced to perfection so your brain can't tell if it's been watching for 15 or 50 minutes. And he says he hates knowing what's coming. He hates when he realizes he's in the third act of a movie and the story's winding down. Or he hates when you can count the commercial breaks and know you're nearing the end of your TV show. And that's the reason he didn't want to let everyone know three months in advance. Hey, by the way, you've got three more issues of this, and then it's over.
And that also would explain why the news dropped the Monday before.
Right.
So just 2 days. It was Monday night, so really it was a day and a half before the books are released.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that there were comic stores that were bummed out because they probably would have ordered more of those.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, when I went to my local store, I asked him, you know, I was like, do you know about The Walking Dead? Yeah. Did you immediately call, you know, Diamond this morning and say I want more? Yeah, well, I get as many as I can, kind of thing. But it's absolutely, whether you're a fan like you are of The Walking Dead or not,
I am. Could be a very collectible book, and you're currently using it as a mouse pad. You're using it as a mouse pad.
For sure. But whether you're a fan or not, it is absolutely the end of an era, for sure.
I love it so much.
Do you want me to use the other book I've got here? Because that looks...
It doesn't matter. I just looked down. That was funny. That struck me as funny. Yeah. What is that other book? Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, no, it is absolutely the end of an era. And I have to question the timing of it, because we're maybe like 2 weeks away from San Diego Comic-Con. You can't tell me you didn't plan that.
Sure.
You know, 2 weeks from now, you're going to be in San Diego at essentially the biggest nerd convention of all time that happens every year. Like, he's going to have some announcement, or, you know, obviously there's going to be some San Diego Comic-Con exclusive version of this issue or something.
Yeah.
Something crazy. And it'll be weird, too, in a year that we don't have Saga, and now we don't have The Walking Dead either. Like, holy crap, what is Image's next biggest book after that?
Right.
I don't have the answer to that.
Like, Mark Millar, write something else!
Right. But you being a huge fan of Walking Dead, you now have a Walking Dead sized hole in your reading.
Yeah, it's okay though.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
you don't feel like you need to find something.
No,
to kind of fill that spot.
No, I really don't. I mean, it's if I was more up to date with my reading, then you know, because
sure,
sometimes when they cancel a book I'm collecting, I'm like, oh good, I don't have to, it takes the decision off my plate. You know,
yeah.
I would really miss Deadpool.
Yeah.
If they did away with...
If there was no Deadpool books
whatsoever.
There
was no Deadpool. Because I do enjoy Walking Dead. I was reading... Honestly, that goddamn TV show sort of killed it for me.
Yeah.
It got to a point where it was almost painful for me to watch the show, and I kept watching it because I liked the comic.
Right.
And then I started to like the comic a little bit less. And as I've stated before on this podcast... When I stopped watching the show, I started to enjoy reading the comic a little bit more again. But even at that, where it's, I still like it, but it's not like it was before when it was the week that Walking Dead came out. I went home and that was my first book I read.
Yeah, and you have to wonder too with like, what are they, 9 seasons deep, and people still watch it, but they like hate watch it now. They're not really enjoying the show anymore.
Right.
And it makes you wonder if Robert Kirkman kind of looks at that and decides, maybe I better get off the stage before people are sick of me.
Right.
Kind of thing, which I'm a huge advocate for in any entertainment medium. Like always leave them wanting more.
Yeah.
Always make sure you get off the stage before they're sick of you, which listeners of this show probably had no idea. We always overstay our welcome here on Nerd Radio.
That's right.
That's what we do. Actually, though, this leads to, so over the weekend, I was talking to a buddy of mine, Mr. Dave Lucina, who I believe is a listener of the show. Hi, Dave. And we were talking about, just stick with me here. This is kind of a long meandering thing, but it leads to a very interesting kind of,
it's too bad we already titled this episode, because a long meandering thing is also a great episode title.
That's true. Okay. So we were talking about, wrestling and Vince McMahon and the WWE, and the fact that, what we were talking about is one man is not big enough to like kill an entertainment medium. Like if Vince McMahon decides tomorrow to just shutter the WWE, professional wrestling doesn't go away, especially now, especially in 2019, maybe 10 years ago, it gets real desperate for fans of professional wrestling to find other professional wrestling that, you know, can match up to that. But wrestling doesn't go away.
No.
In the same genre, we were talking about a particular guy in comic books. Like if he decided he's one of the higher ups at DC Comics. And like if tomorrow Warner Brothers decided we're not publishing any more comics, all our characters are going to be in animation and this and that and whatever. But comics, we're done with comics. Mm-hmm. It's a dead market.
Done with medium print.
Kind of thing. Yeah, we're done with a dead market. And then even going so far as to say, what if you woke up tomorrow and Marvel and DC both decided we're done? We're done with comic books.
Okay.
Kind of thing. I think now, like the comic book market would take a huge hit.
Yes.
However, in 2019, I don't think comics go away as a medium. And it's an interesting thought. Thought problem to go through on a personal level, because were that to happen, you think of how many comics do you read already that are those two companies that suddenly
majority of
that suddenly you don't have, and like, where would you go? what would you read after that? Like, you wouldn't, would you just stop collecting comics if, you know, all your Marvel and DC books went away? Because I know I wouldn't. I would find books from other publishers that fill that gap, fill that hole.
Chances are I could.
Right.
But I'm not normal or reasonable.
Right.
But no, I see what you're saying. And especially, yeah, but, and now, I think it's got to do with the internet age.
Sure.
You know, it's easier to get word out there on stuff.
Yeah.
So, and not even just, I made a thing and I want you to consume it.
Right.
It's, I read a thing that you made, so I'm going to tell James about it.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, getting the word out, the word of mouth has a much wider spread now. And, you know, we do have, I mean, even if you added Image to that list, because of the independents, Image is top dog.
Yeah.
You know, Image has gotten pretty big.
Absolutely. No, and that kind of leads to, it was something that happened while you were on vacation we didn't talk about, but DC shuttering Vertigo. Mm. Vertigo is going away. Now, all the books that are currently published by Vertigo will just be under the DC.
Sure.
They'll just be a DC comic. They won't be part of the DC superhero universe, but they'll just be a DC comic now instead of being DC Vertigo.
Which
kind
is
of thing.
Fine.
Yeah, it's not like those comics are going away, but it is absolutely the end of an era, and it's something that I can point to Image and say, like, well, yeah, it's stuff that in the 90s would have been a Vertigo book, like, you know, Preacher, you know, and Transmetropolitan, and or even The Boys to a degree. Like, that gets published somewhere else now. Because you get a way better deal if you publish, publish creator-owned content under Image Comics than you do if you do it under Warner Brothers DC's Vertigo.
Right. I don't know, because I never really considered Vertigo. I mean, I guess, would they technically be considered independent?
Not so much independent, but it was where it started.
Just, to me, it felt it was DC, but it didn't have the brand over it.
Right. It kind of started as like, hey, we're going to take these weird supernatural characters like Swamp Thing and Hellblazer and Animal Man and stuff like that, and we're going to move them over here, and we're going to tell more adult stories with them.
Was Watchmen before Vertigo was?
It was.
Yeah, because that would have been a Vertigo book.
Oh, absolutely.
It's weird to me when you go back and read Watchmen that it says DC on it. It's kind of weird.
Oh, sure. Having collected a whole bunch of old Hellblazers, to see how long that book was just a DC comic is also fascinating.
Yeah.
How many of those stories were not under the Vertigo, imprint. But then Vertigo quickly turned into, once again, Preacher, Transmetropolitan, Sandman to a degree. Like, yeah, Neil Gaiman started with a character that nobody was really using in the DC universe, but then he made an entire universe that was his own thing, you know, to the degree that, well, the news broke last week. Netflix is going to do a Sandman show after Good Omens did so well on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
For Neil Gaiman. Netflix is like, Sandman's the biggest thing Neil Gaiman's done. How much money do you want for 10 episodes of Sandman?
Sandman's a book that I've heard a lot of people talk about.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of good things about it. Haven't read a single word of it.
Yeah.
I don't even know anything about it.
I'd be curious for you to read it, because I don't know if it's the kind of book you would enjoy. But it's very good, Ned. Like, I definitely am in the camp that Neil Gaiman writes fantastically. I love a lot of the stuff that I've read that Neil Gaiman writes.
Well, now is not the time for me to investigate it when I'm 3 months buried under
not at all
a backlog.
Not at all.
That's why it took me so long. Remember years ago at this point where you brought in Lock and Key for me, and it took me a while to get going.
Yep.
It's, again, because I had enough stuff that I was already behind on, and then I started to read it. I was like, I don't really care about this because I had too much other stuff. But then I like went back and started it over again when I had less pressure, I guess is a way to put it. It really isn't any pressure. And it was so good. It was really good.
It's funny you bring that up, too, because like 2 days after they announced that Vertigo was over, they announced they're doing a separate imprint called Hill House. And Joe Hill, who wrote Lock and Key, is basically the executive producer of this horror imprint, and he's writing two of the books for it as well.
That's cool.
So yeah, looking forward to, you know, it's not called Vertigo, but it's kind of new Vertigo.
Sure.
So, but it's interesting that I was talking to Dave and we, you know, had that kind of like that thought process, and then like 24 hours later, The Walking Dead disappears.
Yeah.
Like, well, nope, it's done.
And I do think that to back up your point is the fact that we had to remove three publishers from the table before you even start thinking about, well, what else is there?
Right.
And that's not, you know, that's still with Dark Horse out there.
Dark Horse,
you know?
Dynamite.
Dynamite is a big one.
Valiant has been making superhero comics for decades at this point.
But I mean, and you know, we had to like pull Image as well before you start going like, oh wait, there is stuff. Before you start, gives you pause.
Right. All right, well, I've got a little bit more comic book related stuff to get to, but we'll take a break right here because I'm gonna rage out on you. I'm gonna outback you with some comic book stuff.
I can't wait.
The latest Diamond previews for September came out, and I saw a couple of things that made me stop and go, "What the F?" So we'll talk about that next. It's Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This just in, Flash. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all ships at sea. Nerd Radio is taking the country by storm.
This is Nerd Radio.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio, all over wherever you get your podcasts, part of the B-Pod Studios Network, WRAF.com.
And Rock929Rocks.com as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. Yes. We were talking about the end of the Walking Dead comic on the last in the last segment. I neglected to mention, if you at home, if you have an answer to the question of like, okay, you have a Walking Dead hole in your life now. If you've got something that you're like, well, you should be collecting this comic, by all means, tweet us. Hit us up on Facebook. Let us know what are the books that you're like, dude, you got to read this book. If you love The Walking Dead, you should check this out.
We would, both of us would love to hear your suggestions.
For sure.
Chuck might actually check it out.
Yeah, right. I'm the screener for you. I'm like your comic screener. Yeah. I'll check it out and then be like, Al, check this book out. Yeah. It's real good.
And that has worked. You got me on Green Valley.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep. So here's the thing, and DMX, you better get ready for this one.
Oh boy!
Because I was at my local comic book store a couple of weeks ago, and there's this book published by an independent publisher called White Widow. I've got the Kickstarter page up, so you can kind of see an example of like what the character looks like, what the thing, you know.
All right. Yeah.
So it's a kind of a superhero book. She looks kind of like a Spider-Man kind of.
Yep.
In a white costume. She's got white hair. She's got she's well endowed.
Yes.
Ample. Yes. And it's created by this
ample
guy
bust.
Named Jamie Tyndall. He's the creator of this particular character. And so I saw the second issue had come out, and I'd forgotten to bring this up when I saw the first issue. The book itself is, for lack of a better term, the most Rob Liefeld looking bullshit I've ever seen. And the reason I say this is because creator Jamie Tyndall does the covers for these books. This is like 90s Image Comics Rob Liefeld kind of goofiness. He does the cover, he writes the interior, and then gets a separate artist to do the interior who's acceptable as a superhero artist, but maybe not as draws the character quite as sexy as he does. Except each issue has like one or two pages that he draws, that the creator that does the cover draws. He draws those one or two pages. I'd forgotten that the first time this happened, I've opened the book and it's like, Jamie Tyndall, writer, creator, and artist on pages like 13 and 14 and 6. And I'm like, well, that's goofy. Why does he do pages?
All the pages with the tits?
Yep.
No! I was going to make that joke. I was going to say that as a joke. He's writing the boobs,
it's literally,
drawing the boobs.
It's literally whenever, if the character is naked or scantily clad or something like that, those are the pages that create. It's like, well, I'm drawing that one.
Oh, my God. You can draw all the creep.
You can draw all the boring stuff. You can draw the stuff where you actually have to like have panels and be able to tell a story or something like that. But I got to draw the boobs.
Listen, you stay away from those boobies. Those are mine. You don't worry about those boobies.
I certainly hope he doesn't listen to Nerd Radio because I'm tearing him a new one.
No,
it's
I
so
hope
dumb.
He is listening. You are sick.
That's so,
so weird. That's so weird.
You know what it says to me at my age, having collected comics as long as I have? It says to me, you have no idea how to like utilize the comic book medium to tell a story. You only know how to draw a sexy lady. The end.
Is he 14 by any chance?
In the same way that Rob Liefeld still can't draw damn feet. You don't know how to draw people talking on a panel or motion
Andy
or something.
Andy Kubert.
Oh, my God.
it's a little gasoline for you. That's so weird.
Yeah. No, it's super. It's the kind of thing. It was so goofy, I had to bring it up.
Like, I mean, it's like, how do you justify? Like, you're going to notice. It's going to be noticed.
Yeah, right?
Like, I read some Garth Ennis books and stuff. Like, there's sometimes nudity in adult comics.
You're gonna notice when the art style changes completely,
right,
for two
and
pages.
It's like, I really don't feel like I need it in there. It is what it is that it's there. It was really awkward when I was on a flight and I like opened
there a little old lady sitting next to you, yeah, in the plane. She's like, oh, what kind, like, of book are you reading?
Right. But it's like, whatever. It's there. It is what it is.
Right.
But like, to be like, I'm going to draw those panels. no one draws these but me. Like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? That's so weird.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Garth Ennis.
Good.
Because...
are we out of the disappointment phase?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I think so for sure.
Because you
Absolutely.
Said, you teased at the top of the show, there's going to be a lot of disappointment.
Yeah, I figured
And
you
a
were...
lot of it in comics. And
yeah, I figured your disappointment probably came from the fact that now The Walking Dead is gone. And
yes
very
and no.
suddenly, too.
Yes and no.
Right. Whereas for me, disappointment
I actually,
was...
after the you read the letter in the back.
Yeah.
It makes me appreciate the misdirect.
Yeah.
Because that was the and not to go back to what we just talked about, but the big thing that I was, even after you explained why they solicited the two issues and all that stuff, I still was thinking about that letter about the big change in a recent thing. I'm
right.
like, what was the point? Why are you telling me, like, I know this happened, but we're going to continue. But after that other letter, I was like, okay, it was for the misdirection.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I can accept that. Because it almost, like, to me... It was that letter was losing credibility.
Yeah.
But now in hindsight, I'm like, no, okay, I'll give it to you. It was the bigger picture.
Right. And there's plenty of people that are like, you couldn't have stretched it out till it was like issue 200 or, you know, you could. Or he had said in a Reddit that he had like it was going to be a 300 issue book. And now he's ending it at 193.
Yeah.
So
he also at one point said it was
it.
Never going to end. So,
that's true.
You know, whatever. I don't care about that. When you're done telling the story, I don't care what issue it is.
Yeah.
I want just the issue, however many issues, you know how I feel about the, you know, like the legacy numbering and all that kind of stuff. It's like,
don't start it over at number one. Oh, how angry would you be if they announced in San Diego they're starting Walking Dead over at number one?
I wouldn't collect it.
No. You'd be out, hard out. All right, well, you brought up Garth Ennis.
Yes.
He did a book that we've talked about on this show before for, I can't remember the publisher. It was Stitched.
That was Avatar, wasn't it?
Avatar Press. Yeah, Avatar Press. He did a book, which you were kind enough to let me borrow, the Garth Ennis Stitch thing, which they did a small budget movie.
Yeah, it was only
like
15, 20 minutes long.
Right, for sure.
He directed it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Stitched is back, or has been back for the last month or so. I think they're putting it out weekly almost. They're doing a Stitch book. Garth isn't doing it. It's one of those franchises, much like Crossed, that he did specifically for Avatar Press to hand off to other people so they have a franchise like a Hellblazer or a Swamp Thing or something like that that they can continue to do. Alan Moore's and... Warren Ellis, like a lot of people have worked for Avatar and done some very dark and disturbing creator-owned stuff and then gone ahead and done this kind of thing to try and give back to them. But the reason I bring Stitched up and the fact that it is currently in print is because going through the previews for 2 months from now, there's another...
There are nothing but lies!
There's another book called Stitched.
Okay.
And... It's a children's book.
Oh no! It does look like a Coraline. It looks like a Tim Burton movie.
Yeah, these cute little like Nightmare Before Christmas looking characters in this book called Stitched, which is also this really raunchy Avatar Press book.
Yeah,
that was a bad idea.
Oh, dude! Avatar Press, I think, exclusively does horror.
Yes,
I've never seen them do anything else.
Right.
And it's always gross.
Well, even, you know, the Caligula book or something like that. Like, they just go for,
My buddy David Lapham.
Oof, They just go for just what's the most disgusting thing you can put in a comic book?
Yeah,
we're gonna do that.
I have told this story before. I'll tell it again though. But I remember when I first bought Crossed.
Yeah.
You know, my buddy Worm talked me into
yes.
it. He talked me into it. He's like, "Oh man, you like Walking Dead? Like, you got to read Crossed or whatever." I was like, "All right, I'll try it out one time." And so this is when Detroit Comics was still around, and yep. Brian, the owner, happened to be working that day. And he did not like Crossed. He kept it in stock.
Right.
But his employee, Worm, who's still my comic guy, was the one who talked me into it. And so I get it, and I set it down on the counter, and Brian looks at it and goes, "What? No. Why? Put it back." "You own the store. You're really trying to talk me out of buying something from you?"
I love that story.
And he picked it up and, like, dry heaved a little bit. He rang it up and, you know, sent me home with it. But, yeah,
he didn't want to.
No, and it doesn't matter to Worm whether it's something sells or not. He's the owner of the store, and he's like, "No, I don't want you to purchase this thing from me.
All right, well, I brought up Rob Liefeld a couple of minutes ago. The other comic that I actually have here that came out this week, which I wanted to show you, because Marvel's been doing this.
Yeah, I will say I'm not interested in that new Stitched.
Yeah, well, I don't think
honestly,
so.
Honestly, even if Garth was writing it, I don't think I'd pick it.
How effed up would that be if they were like, "Hey, Garth, do you want to write this other Stitch book that's for kids?" He's like, "Yeah, sure. This will be fun."
Well, you said that his Stitched is back, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I wouldn't even if he was writing that, I don't think.
Yeah, no.
I got the six issues, and then it continued on for a little while.
Yeah, exactly.
So they did.
Warren Ellis did a character called Gravel, which was essentially his riff on John Constantine.
Yeah.
And I really liked his version of the book, but then eventually somebody else took over, and I read those, and I was like, nah, I don't like this.
Well, he created Crossed. Crossed went on without him.
Yep.
He created Stitched, went on without him. Jennifer Blood, which I thought that entire run was good.
Right.
But anyway, back to Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, so Marvel started doing this thing called a facsimile edition, and they've apparently been so successful that DC is going to start doing these as well. They are reprints of key issues, old issues. The one I handed you is New Mutants 98. It's the first appearance of Deadpool. The thing that makes this different from a regular reprint is they reprinted every detail of that book. They recolored it to a degree so it looks a little bit sharper, but the ads are there from when that book came out for old Nintendo games. The letter pages are all there, and you know, it's $3.99, which is what comics typically are nowadays, whereas the book was like a dollar when it came out. But I love it. I love the fact that like New Mutants 98 is a couple hundred dollar book because it's the first Deadpool. So I'm never gonna own one of these. But I'll own this. This is cool.
Yeah, no, as a matter of fact, if you've got any left at the store next time you're there, if you wouldn't mind grabbing one for me.
Yeah, for sure. Because I love that it reprints. Because the reason I like having the books over having a graphic novel of it, I want to read the stuff, but I like having the letter page. And I like seeing the ads from when a book came out.
Yeah.
I like seeing what was society like in 1998 when, you know, or in 2004 when this book came out.
I've got a bunch of those Next Generation comics that DC... Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
DC published back in the 90s.
Right.
And it's like the Power Glove is advertised. All that stuff is really cool. You can even go back and read a book from 5 years ago and see the new TV show that they were advertising.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know,
I remember.
And even that recent, you get a hit of nostalgia.
I remember going through my X-Men collection and reading a specific issue and getting like turning the page and seeing an ad for a show coming out on Fox called Firefly and going, "Oh, my God."
Right.
Like that I did not care when I read the issue initially and that thing, and then
if only you had it could still be around.
Yeah, I guess so.
Such a good show.
I do have a little bit more nerd rage when it comes to comic books. When I was going through the Diamond thing, so I make what I call my worst case scenario list is essentially like, okay, if I bought every book that I want out of this catalog, what would it cost me that month? And I had to notice because I always divide it up into publishers. Marvel, DC, Image, and then all the independent publishers and stuff like that. All the indie publishers, my books are usually about $3.99. Maybe once or twice you get an issue that's, you know, a little bit more expensive. DC and Marvel, who are the two biggest companies in comic books, who have the biggest piece of the pie when it comes to the thing, almost every Marvel book in September is $4.99 that I want. And DC's no better. DC, like, there's a couple of $3.99 books in there, but like any book that's remotely important, $4.99. Or higher.
Well, and those guys too, they're starting to back off the twice a month.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, good.
Yeah, they're gonna start like with I know when Tom King leaves Batman near the end of the year, like Batman's going back to monthly.
Good. Because that's, I mean, it's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot, and if you want to collect it, you got to get every one of them.
Yeah.
You know, and that bothers me.
Right.
You know, it's taking advantage of loyalty. You know what I mean? Like, you're making people pay for
As I was totaling, making my totals up and seeing how much I would spend for the month of September, I was
now,
I was
this
like,
is worst case. So this, you are not actually going to spend this dollar. No, do you remember what the totals were?
I don't know. Maybe I was 150, maybe 190.
For the month?
For the month, yeah.
If you, this is again, if I bought, if all, you of these bought books. All of them, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I usually top out at about $100. I try and keep myself to about $20.
I feel like that's actually a good method to keep you under that line, because you look at that number.
Yep.
You know, and it's funny because you buy an issue of a comic book and it's $2, $3, $4.
Right.
And you're like, oh, well, that's not that much money. But then you get a little stack and you're like, what the hell are you talking about? It's $40.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I was a little bit livid as I was looking through it. And I was like, they're the two big, no wonder they're the two biggest publishers with the most amount of money, because they're charging the most amount of damn money.
That is frustrating. Because it's not like,
if anybody could make books cheaper, it's the guys who are making a ton of money right now.
Well, and you never know as a collector when it's going to happen, unless you're looking ahead and you're really keeping track of the Diamond catalog.
Right.
But it's like, it's not like it's the once a year annual. Well, all of a sudden, here's a giant size thing, and it's got extra stories.
Right.
And yeah, it's going to cost a little bit more, but it's 100 pages worth of comics.
Yeah, no.
But it's every so often, it's like issue number 62 for no freaking reason.
Yeah.
Is all of a sudden $8.
Hey, I know we charged you $10 for a Deadpool 3 months ago, but we're going to do it again.
Right.
And like, come on, man.
And what drives me nuts is oftentimes I don't feel like I need those backup stories, because they'll still, especially like it has happened with Deadpool a bunch.
Yep.
You get the $10 book, and you'll get 22 pages of the next issue of the story arc.
Right.
And then the rest of it is, you know, 80 pages of crap that you don't need.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I wouldn't have paid this extra money.
Yeah.
I don't need this.
You charged me extra for something I didn't want in the first place.
Right. And there's been times where, like, you've picked up the same book and went, you know, or like Action Comics and Detective Comics 1000. Now, those, you know, those were monumental issues, and there was a bunch of extra stuff in there. I'm not collecting either one of those, but I got those two issues because it's the 1000th issue.
Right.
And there was a couple of, like, you went through and like, oh, you got to go back and read the Geoff Johns story in Action Comics or whatever.
Sure.
You know? And I read it and it was good. But at the same time, it's like, I chose to buy that, but it's like, why all the time? Like, most of the time, I don't feel like I need what's in there.
Yeah.
You know, just give me the next story.
And the fact that you escalate, once again, going back to the last issue, Walking Dead, it's almost a double-size issue, still $3.99.
Yeah.
Like, Image can figure out how to do that once in a while, but Marvel, no. The minute the book is over 22 pages, it's got to be at least $2 more.
They also did that promotion, it was a few years ago now, but every book was like 50 cents or 25 cents or something like that. Remember, it was an Image thing.
Oh, yeah. There was the Walking Dead book that was a quarter.
Yeah. And there was a bunch of their titles that they did that for a month. It was like, it was a big thing that month. You know, like they'll do stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well,
they also take care of their creative teams. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take a short break, and then you're going to give us the lowdown on what your thoughts in Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, yeah.
Now that you've put that one in the can. So Nerd Radio returns.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Nerd Radio.
I won nothing. I won absolutely nothing. There's no prize to win here. We're all losers. All right, you ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. We're back with some more Nerd Radio. I figure if I ask you if you're ready to go, then you won't snicker when I immediately flip that switch and start doing it.
No promises.
We're back with...
Hello, Woodville coming!
Hey, it's been a minute since that's happened.
I think I freaked out James the last time I did that.
You did. He was like, what is happening right now?
Hawk-tong!
We're back with some more Nerd Radio for you here. And Al Beck, you, over your vacation, said that you finished Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
I have not finished Red Dead Redemption 2, but I, A, don't care about spoilers, and B, already spoiled it for myself when I decided to quit.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested. If you have not finished it, then you are even slower than Al Beck, and that is something you need to live with.
Nicht gut.
You live listening at home.
You have to live.
You've got to live with that. But we are gonna spoil some Red Dead Redemption 2, so you're probably gonna want to, I don't know, tune in for next week's podcast.
Okay. Yeah. Originally, my plan was to not hit spoilers, but if we're gonna put
let's
that
talk
out
about
there,
it.
Yeah, okay.
Let's That's talk fine. About it. So you finished it.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
I don't know if it's because I really doubled down and actually spent a lot of time with it that I finally started to like, all right, yeah, I really like this game now. Because I never disliked it, but I remember it came out, what, October last
right.
year? And so I had my brother had purchased the pre-order for me for my birthday. So I had the code already. I had plugged it in, which was actually kind of nice. I didn't know this. I always buy hard copies for the most part. So I'd never pre-ordered a digital video game.
Okay.
Found out that you can like plug it in, download the game completely, and then it's there, and then it just unlocks at the release time.
Right.
So, you know, because, you know, games now, they take a whole day to download and install.
Yeah. Well, in the next generation of video games, it looks like is very obviously going to be cloud-based. It's going to so that you don't have to deal with, I only have so much hard drive space
right.
for these games. Because that was Red Dead and Spider-Man were the two last year that it's like, yeah, you got to delete almost everything off your hard drive to play these games because they
right.
take up a ton of space.
Right. And you know what? They're the streamability. It's I had that PlayStation Now for a little while, and I thought it was good.
You know,
it worked well. I know Jefferson had some issues with it.
Right. I'm sure it's, you know, if your internet connection is not tippy-top, then you're going to have a problem streaming a game.
Right.
But
it that
seems
also
to be
that,
the future.
But the PlayStation Now, they also give you the option to download to your console now, I think.
Which is great.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
That's not what we're here to talk about. but no, I did have a great time. Again, getting into the spoilers, the main character is Arthur Morgan.
Yep.
And he does, towards the end of the game, further away from the end than you would think, contracts, he find out he's diagnosed with tuberculosis.
Right.
And he does die.
Because I had read that after I'd quit and went, oh, I want to see that. That's fascinating.
Well, so the main story is the gang. Now, obviously, okay, so back to Red Dead Redemption. There is a thing with the story I feel like was handled a little bit, could have been handled differently that
uh-huh.
I really wish it would have connected the two games together better, I think. But so like the basic premise of Red Dead Redemption, the first one, is
John Marston.
John Marston is hunting down a former gang member, Bill Williamson,
yep.
who has his own gang now and sort of betrayed him, and he's hunting him down partially for the law, if I remember correctly. Like, the law is involved.
They're like, we're going to arrest you and put you in prison. You never see your family again unless you do this
right.
for us, and then we'll leave you alone.
And you do see a little bit of that at the end of Red Dead Redemption 2, which is a prequel
yes.
to the original game. And then, of course, you know.
Yeah, because, like, real early in the game, you have to save John Marston from getting attacked by a bear, and he's significantly younger
yes.
than the one you played in the first one.
Right. Which I thought that was cool right out of the gate when I started Red Dead Redemption 2. Like, oh, like, he's in the game.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that's cool. And it's the same voice actor and everything.
Same voice
so cool.
actor and everything. And I would have thought that you got to play as him, but instead you play as Arthur Morgan. But anyway, so this is the story of his, the gang.
Yeah.
That Bill Williamson was also a part of, the guy he's hunting down in the original game. But you play as this other character, and John Marston is in it, but then he disappears for a while, and he's kind of like this, but he gets more and more a part of the game, a more pivotal character. But basically, the gang leader, Dutch, has got this big, grandiose plan of we got to pull off X number of more jobs, get this much money, and then we're all heading off to Tahiti, and we're going to basically retire there and, you know, be rich, free men.
Okay.
And no more crimes and... But he starts making bad decisions, and Arthur and John in particular, but a couple of the other characters start questioning him. And Arthur is Dutch's right-hand man, so he's not handling the insubordination very well. But
sure.
Arthur is also the guy, like, I'm the one who needs to stand up to Dutch.
Yeah.
So that's where you start seeing it all fall apart. You do find out that there's a rat in the gang. Someone's been betraying the gang to the law.
Okay.
And that's kind of where I feel like they missed an opportunity to connect the two games, because you would think it was Bill Williamson.
Yeah.
And that's why
John
Marston has to hunt him down. It's not. It's this other guy, Micah.
Huh.
Who betrays the entire gang, including Dutch, but at the very end of the game, you find Micah with Dutch.
What?
Yeah. So, like, weird. It's really weird, but the thing is, I don't know if it's because I started really sinking my teeth into this game that I started enjoying it more, or if it was the fact that when Arthur dies, you get to play as John Marston for the last quarter of the game.
Okay.
And then the replayability, you know, once you've beat the game and you can still do the open world stuff,
yeah,
you get to stay as John Marston.
That's cool.
So I haven't done any of that yet. I actually just finished last night the final mission, and I was kind of tired.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there and I was watching the damn credits, because after a few minutes of credits, they would do like a little scene, and they did a lot of lawmen are in the Marston home talking to him, and there's no dialogue. There's no subtitles or anything. It's all implied through the video.
Yeah.
And it's clearly the lawmen talking to him and kind of leading up to the whole, you're going to go get that other.
You're going to go get Bill Williamson.
You're going to go get Bill Williamson. And it kind of sets that up a little bit.
Interesting.
But I still feel like they should have made Williamson the guy who betrayed them. It would have made more sense.
Right. It would directly connect the game to the first one.
And also it ended up not making sense connecting the two games together, that if you remember the beginning of the original game, like, they dock in Blackwater.
Sure.
Which is basically home to him. Beecher's Hope, his ranch, is on the outskirt, like just outside of town for Blackwater. That's like he would go in there to get supplies.
Yeah.
Or if him and his wife wanted a night out, they would go into Blackwater. Like, that's home for him.
Right.
And then so, like, they dock in his home, stick him on a train, and send him down to Armadillo. And it's and he, like, has to work his way back up to Blackwater. It's like it's a strange place to, I don't know. It's a couple of details I feel like they missed.
All right. Well, I have one burning question.
Gotcha.
That I've been thinking of since you told me about this. When you start playing as John Marston, does the gameplay get any better, or is it the same game? Does it feel exactly
the
same?
It's the same gameplay.
Okay, you know, so it's not a matter that Arthur Morgan is a crappy cowboy.
No.
It's just that the gameplay is really clunky.
Yes, I did notice as I spent more time playing it that, God, the controls can be really clunky there. And my main complaint about it is the computer tries to decide how fast you should be moving sometimes, the direction your horse should be going, and which weapons you should carry, and that drove me insane.
Yeah, you were telling me before that, like, they would change your weapons every time you would get on your horse or
something.
Oh, my
God! Now, okay, in the old game, you just, once you acquired a weapon, it was available for you to call up any time. You had all your weapons, and you don't want to do that anymore? Fine. But I would be going into a situation, and I'd be in the middle of a gunfight and go to grab my bolt-action rifle, which was my favorite weapon, and it's not there because I forgot to equip it when I left the horse. Oh, son of a bitch!
You left it on your horse.
I left it on the horse because I'm used to the old game, so whatever. So I finally got used to that, and I'm, like, riding up to the mission and start equipping. All right, I know I'm going to want the repeater over here. This looks like it's going to be a thing, so I'm going to, like a close counter thing, so maybe I want the shotgun over here.
Right.
But, you know, most of the time, I want my bolt action. So I got it all ready. Then I get off the horse, and they unequipped everything that I just got. Every time you jump on the horse, they re-equip it all. And then maybe you are able to get off the damn horse and have your repeater and your bolt action. And then one of the characters is like, here's your sniper rifle. I'm like, well, which gun did you take away from me? Because they don't give you an option, like, you want to get rid of the repeater or whatever. And I bought a scope. Scope on my rifle specifically because I like the bolt action rifle and I like that I can do it without a scope too.
Right.
And now that's gone for this piece of crap sniper rifle that you gave me.
The horses still suck too, don't
And the
they?
Horses, I really felt like I was channeling your Shadow of the Colossus. I have spit all over my iPad.
I have a horse problem when it comes to video games.
Oh my God. Yeah, there was one. I'm going and I'm with one of the other characters. I'm going to do a collective bounty, and we're hunting down this bounty, and she's like, all right, well, we just got to go over here, and we got to cross a bridge, and I'm right there, like, towards the bridge, and then without me doing anything, the horse, like, just shudders over to the right and then, like, stops before it falls down this ravine. I'm like, well, that's good at least, but I don't know why it... Why is it jumping over the railing? It jumped over down to the ravine, and I'm like, I didn't push a button. Why did that happen? So now I got to, like, go up and around, and so, like, as I'm going around, the character's like, you're going the wrong way, John. I'm like, I swear to God, if you, like, fail me this mission because I abandoned
Because your stupid horse decided to jump over a railing.
Yeah. Oh, God. The horse was driving me crazy.
Are you at all interested in playing the online?
Mm. No, because I think you have to play with other people. If it was like the old online, I would.
Yeah.
But, because even that old one, I used to play the first games online by myself.
Yeah.
In a private room, and it would just, I would just, buy on my own, I'd go and I'd clear the gang hideouts and have a great time. And every so often, my brother would hook up with me online and we would do this together.
Right.
But, no. If I need... I mean, if there's a way for you and I to go on and just do a private match with the two of us,
room.
I would absolutely love to do that. But if it's you, me, and a bunch of other people, nah, I'm out. I don't care.
Well, that's because much like Grand Theft Auto, the one you played, Grand Theft Auto 5. Yeah. Like the online is still a big deal.
Yeah.
People are still, they're still releasing, you know, like every month there's a different event or something going on and people are still playing it consistently. So that's essentially what they're looking to do with Red Dead Redemption 2 is keep the online going.
Yeah. As infrequently as I play video games now, I feel like there's going to be a time where I have no place in video games at all because it's becoming more and more online heavy.
It's true. Right.
And I was thinking about that, even though it took me 9 months to play the stupid game. There was a lot of story, and I got my money's worth out of it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, that was my next question is, do you think, is there any reason at all to play it a second time for you?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, especially because at the end, I really wanted to finish it, because there was other stuff. I still haven't played Final Fantasy 15, and I came in here when I bought it cheap, all excited, because I was not going to spend $50, $60 on that game, but when I found it for $10, yeah, sure. And I love some of the old Final Fantasy games. I'd like to play the 15th one, but like I still had this RDR2 looming over me. So every time I'm like, I should check out 15. No, haven't beat Red Dead yet.
Right.
So
it's fascinating, too, because you and James are just polar opposites at video games. Like, you do not want to play with other people online.
At all.
You want, at all. And James, like, he lives to, talking to him last week about it. That's what he lives for, man. He lives to go online and you know,
that's what I'm saying.
Talk trash to 12-year-olds.
Yeah. That's James, though. But that's most people, I think, because that's where I'm saying I think we're leading into a spot where I no longer am, it's not going to be a spot for me to play video games because they're going to move away from the stories and I'm not going to have fun anymore. So,
well, I'll definitely I feel like at some point I'm definitely going to reinstall Red Dead Redemption and give it another try. I'm definitely going to put a screen around my television.
Yeah,
sure nothing happens. Do you have any advice?
What happened that you, because we were talking spoilers and you didn't want to reveal what exactly happened. Do you recall?
Okay. So I was doing some of the side mission stuff.
Like the strangers and all that?
Yeah. Some of that kind of stuff.
Which and is one of the reasons why I would like to go back. I kind of blew through it and I was skipping all the strangers and I was hoping maybe I can go back and play those with John.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But I had come across like a gang hideout. And thought to myself, like, well, okay, I'll do this, whatever. It's right here. It's in the middle of, like, I had a map on my phone, that like an interactive, like, Google map of the area that told me that there was stuff there. And I'm like, okay, well,
I like stuff.
Yeah, I want to go in there and see that stuff. So I tried to do the gang hideout, and I just kept... Like, I was getting sniped before I even got to the gang hideout. I would kill two or three dudes and then just fall down and die. And I'm like, this is stupid. Why can't I do this? And in retrospect, maybe it's because eventually my character gets good enough to do that. I was hoping.
Yeah.
Maybe I get good enough guns that are, or, you know, some armor or some BS that, you know, I can deal with that. But, yeah, I did that two or three times and eventually I was just like, stupid. Bounce the controller off the
Maybe that would be it. Could have gone differently later in the game because you can buy express and high velocity bullets.
Yeah,
for your guns, and I think the express ones do a lot of damage.
Oh, really?
So like I would load up my bolt action rifle with that, and going to town, and it was like mostly one shot, one kill.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you've got it, you know, you got it set up so it automatically aims on people, and it usually goes center mass.
Yep.
But if you do the aim and you kind of get the hang of it and you just pull back just a little bit,
yeah, you get a headshot.
Yeah. And so, especially with those express long distance with the bolt action rifle, hit it, let it aim itself, pull back, just pull up a little bit, boom, guy's out.
Yeah.
You know, it only carries five rounds, but you're taking out five people with that thing. You know what I mean?
Well, if and when I were to sit down and try and play this game again by myself, do you have any tips or tricks or any advice for playing it now that you've played through it for people that are playing through it? Because I think you were telling me that Chuck from the morning show had given you a bit of advice.
Oh, yeah. I will tell you what his was. His was, explore everything you want to. He said explore everything you want to while you can, basically. And he didn't elaborate why. I found out later it's because as you go, you are about half of the map you want dead or alive.
Right.
And there's no bounty for you to pay off. However, if you play it all the way through, the bounties go away.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you can create new ones, but,
right,
you know, half of the map is no longer blocked off to you. But yeah, you'd be riding, and you can do the cinematic mode.
Yep.
So if you're like, oh, I got a long ride ahead of me, I can go get a drink or something, you could set it in cinematic mode and walk away, hit the bathroom, and then come back, and you're halfway to your destination by the time you return.
Right.
But all of a sudden, I was like, that's not a good idea, because I'd come back, and
they're shooting at you.
Right. And it's not like Arthur's now on autopilot, and he shoots back. He just keeps riding.
It's almost your Grand Theft Auto 5 situation. Yeah. I forget when you would log in, and you'd log into that one character, and he's just getting beat up.
Yeah, he's in the middle of the two in particular was when... when he was in the middle of a high-speed chase when I switched to him, and the other one was the dude at Muscle Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just picking a fight.
He's just like, and screw you! And he pushes the big muscly dude, gets into a fight, so you have to kill him, obviously.
Right.
And now I got stars. I'm like, I just want to do a quick mission and leave. But I got obsessive by the end. I did have a really good time by the end of it. It was like one of those, all right, I've played this long enough, I need to shut it off.
Right.
I don't care if I watch TV, I just need to do something else. I'd shut it down, walk away to use the bathroom, and come back and then turn my PlayStation back on and go right back to
playing. I want to keep going. I want to see more of it.
Yeah, I think I played... See, I was off for 4 days, and then I had a weekend and two more days, and I think I played more than half of the story in that time.
That right there is a Nerd Radio vacation, right?
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to us. As always, thank you for joining me this week, Al. I believe next week we'll have a full itinerary, full show. James will be back. James will be back.
We'll be business as usual.
Absolutely. So find us, rate us, review us on iTunes. I encourage you guys. That's the best way you can, any podcast you listen to, you can let them know that you're out there, is to hit them up either on social media, which is where you can find us at Nerd Radio 101, or to let them know on iTunes what you like, what you don't like. Give us some ratings. We are in the double digits now. Last time I checked.
All right.
I think we had like 10 or 11.
Our begging paid off.
It did. At least two more people.
Well, I would like to thank those other people for rewarding bad behavior.
Thank you very much. All right. That's this week's Nerd Radio. See you next week.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Weekend.
Golden Radio.
I know.
See you later, nerds.
Hey, we're out.
How do you feel about it?
That's fine.
Okay. It's also a good title, but not as good as the other ones.
Okay. I don't have anything funny to check the mics with, so I guess we'll just start.
That might be the end tag right there.
There you go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.